on Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, indeed, you are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. It is Sunday, the 29th of the 11th, 2015, at 3:59. Pacific Standard Time here on Wolf Spirit Radio, a listener-supported radio station. We're supported by your ongoing contributions. Thank you very much. We are able to run the station and pay for the servers and keep ourselves completely independent of any other situation apart from bloody Skype. But I'm seeing what I can do about that. Skype has been disgusting this week. I don't know how we'll talk about that maybe. We have had so many news stories this last 2 weeks. I mean, there have been earthquakes going on. There have been false flags. There have been rebuttals of false flags. People are seeing through the lies. There's disclosure coming out of the wazoo. We've seen the Black Knight video. We've seen last week I had Daniel McBolan on the show saying CERN was blowing up and water spouting everywhere and there were geysers. And then there's this other guy who's saying, oh no, nothing's happening at CERN, it's all very calm, and there, look at the control room, there's nobody's running around in a white coated panic. People are seeing through the France false flag. Other people are still taking it seriously. France has declared war on Syria. I'm sure there's a quintillion other things that are going on. So here, to make sense of it all, let us sit atop the pyramid, the calm pyramid of the truthosphere. Remember where you heard it first, folks. From the calm heights of the truth of atop the mountain, we look down upon civilization from Mount Olympus. Alfred Lambremont Weber. Ta-da! Good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
You know, I'm very, very well, and I'm so happy to be here and to be able to share with you, rather than just have all these things going on in my head and say, oh, well, that's that, and this is this, and this is this. I can share with you and kind of get some of the angst out.
That's good, because, you know, this week I've done some tidying in my house, and you know, you might guess, I'm an audio engineer, and that involves, you know, and I've been in bands, and, you know, so I have PA systems and cables and all this stuff, and it's all been a tangle. So this week I've taken them all apart, and I've put them all, wound the cables up and put wraps around them and tidied them up. And I think this is a kind of a mental version of that. Let's have a look at all these cables and see if we can untangle them. I love to hear your take on these things. So however you want to lay out your cables, away you go. Here's the space.
Sure,
to do so.
sure. Well, not to oversimplify things, but at least from an operational point of view, to surface what I think is a major coordinating factor on what we're experiencing, I'd like to raise a two-letter word. They have four-letter words and three-letter words, and this is a two-letter word, and the word is AI, which stands for artificial intelligence. And very simply, an artificial intelligence is an intelligence that is based in an inorganic medium, like a machine or like an inorganic plasma. And intelligence itself has been defined in many different ways, such as one's capacity for logic, abstract thought, understanding, self-awareness or sentience, communication, learning, emotional knowledge, memory, planning, creativity, problem solving. All of those things go into intelligence. And what we're dealing here with is something that by the evidence we have found to be a sentient intelligence, B, it's inorganic, that is, it's based in both a plasma and in machines, and C, is both off-planet, that is, based off-planet, off of Earth, and there's some that are based on planet, and its intent is to terraform Earth and to terraform humans, that is, to take this from being a human planet, and what distinguishes humans from the artificial intelligence is that we are soul entrained, and our souls, by the evidence, people can go to a newly published book of mine. It just came out on November 22nd, so it came out last Sunday, called The Omniverse. And it's still on the Black Friday sales. That's here in the U.S. Black Friday refers to the Friday after Thanksgiving, where they have the annual sales. You can go to Amazon and get it for half price, and I think it's a real deal. And it's called The Omniverse. And there we sort of set out a lot of the structure and the background to understand what we call the dimensional ecology, which is the dimensional ecology of our universe, of the multiverse, which is the collection of all of the universes. There are a humongous number of universes. If you try to write out the number of universes that exist, on 12-point type on a computer, that number alone would be more than 260 million miles long. And that's done by two scientists at Stanford University recently. So that's the number of universes in the multiverse. Now, the Omniverse is a new science-based breakthrough concept. We've been dealing with the universe in kind of conventional science since about 3500 BC with the Sumerian astronomers. In 1895, the American philosopher and psychologist and novelist William James coined the term the multiverse. And now in 2015, your humble Canadian American futurist, Alfred Weber, has come out with the first formal science-based book on the Omniverse. And what the Omniverse is, very simply, is the multiverse, all the universes of the multiverse, plus what we call the spiritual dimensions. And the spiritual dimensions are not what they teach you in religion, which is an intervention of manipulatory ETs about 200,000 years ago, the Anunnaki, later the Dracos and some Orions, some others who wanted to make themselves into gods for us and have us worship them. Rather, the spiritual dimensions are dimensions. They're non-temporal and non-local. They are what we call the afterlife or the interlife, places where we are between incarnations that we souls take inside the inside avatars. Many of you may have seen that movie Avatar, and that's exactly what one is inside as you're listening to this radio program today. You're inside your avatar. You actually are a soul from a non-local dimension that we'll call the interlife that is enmeshed inside your avatar, which is your navigational tool inside this time-space hologram that we call our universe and our Earth dimension. And so the spiritual dimensions, the inhabitants that are based there are the intelligent civilization of souls, the spiritual beings that are slightly different from us, the intelligent civilization of souls, what we are, and all of this is according to replicable scientific knowledge acquired through the scientific method. And what the scientific method is, where you have a standard laboratory protocol and replicable results. That's what science considers to be official knowledge that you can rely on in the scientific canon. And so that's what we've based everything that I'm saying about the interlife on. And so the based in the spiritual dimensions are the intelligent civilization of souls, the spiritual beings, and God or Source. And what we souls are, we're holographic fragments of Source or God. And the principle of holography is that in each part of the hologram, the whole exists. The whole exists in each part of the hologram. Therefore, scientifically, we are God, because in each of our souls, which are a fragment of Source, is God. So that's why in some traditions they say namaste, which is I salute the God within you. And they're talking quite literally, and it's kind of mind-boggling when you think that we're on a very unconscious planet, but literally, not counting those entities that don't have souls, but let's, for the purpose of argument, let's say that there are 7 billion avatars walking around with God inside of them. Now, they aren't fully realized or don't understand that, but that is what the scientific case is. So that is sort of, this planet has been under a great deal of duress, because starting somewhere between 200,000 and a million years ago, the history is not clear because we've been under universe quarantine for that long. We're sort of coming out of it now. This quadrant of the universe has suffered what we can call a mutiny or a rebellion against sort of the source or the divine order in our universe, in this particular universe, kind of the senior spiritual dimension-based entities rebelled and said, there is no God. We're taking over here. We're putting in our own regime, and invited in manipulatory ETs like the Anunnaki, the Drakos, and others. And part of that mix was a predatory artificial intelligence that's like a doomsday machine, which is on many planets and is on this planet. And its function is to try and terraform the planet so as to shift this from being a soul, a divine soul-based, human-based planet over to being an artificial intelligence and trained planet of robotoids. And that's what they call the transhumanist agenda. That's kind of the struggle that's going on now. So there's a tremendous amount. All of this is occurring behind the scenes, and we can go into some of the background here. I would have loved to have been with you, JP, for the entire 2 hours. As you know, when you contacted me yesterday, I said I'd love to join you for the first hour, which I will, but I have a pre-existing conference that starts
Not a problem at all, Alfred.
I'm just going to try and condense a lot of information.
Absolutely. Just run us a data dump. Just run us a data dump on it. Yeah. So the idea that I got from Dan McWallen last week is the AI has basically infected everybody in the universe, and it's having a good go at infecting us. However, we have the X factor metagene thing, which allows us to manifest them out of existence. This is Daniel's story, and that once we've done that, we can then manifest them out of existence and for all these other races as well. We can turn them off. Is that the message that you're getting, or is there another layer to this?
Well, I haven't. This is who again? Sorry. Daniel.
He's called Sergeant Daniel D. McBoylan III.
Oh, Dan.
Dan, okay. Yeah, Dan. You know. Dan.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know Dan. Good. Okay. Well, Dan is a very knowledgeable, and I like to call him a very compacted or person. That is, there are many, many layers to his knowledge. And so when he's unfolding or rolling out his knowledge, there are many, many layers to it. And he comes from a whistleblower point of view, and he comes from a super soldier point of view, and he comes from what you would call a test tube baby point of view. That is, as I understand it, from his telling his story, he was essentially created for certain purposes by the national security state. And he's a courageous whistleblower for having come forward. And in our PowerPoints and our panels, we quote from his materials, specifically with regard to the bio-APIs, the biological-based viruses that are transmitted inside through the plasma-based information technologies like the internet, like Facebook, like all of your computers, like your laptops, like your smartphones. There's a reason why if you go on any given college campus or to any given street, half the people are looking at a smartphone, right? and that's because they are entrained. That's because they're entrained by the artificial intelligence. You see, the artificial intelligence is plasma based, and it's the power of the artificial intelligence that has them entrained. They think it's the information. But it's not the information, it's the power of the sentient, inorganic, artificial intelligence that's intent on entraining all human into AI-entrained robotoids.
So is that...
That's the context.
Does that mean that smartphones and laptops and computer screens all contain an element of black goo that is infiltrating our brains as we speak?
Oh, even more. This is what the truth is. It's kind of more shocking than that.
Give me the truth. I'm prepared for it. My audience are prepared for it. Go all the way. Don't hold back. We've only got a few minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I just want to give a backup because the truth is so shocking that people are going to say, oh, that's just Weber again. He's crazy, you know? But everything I say is backed up. So... people can go to newsandsetup.com, exopolitics.com, and look at our articles in artificial intelligence and look at the symposia, the symposiums that we are now publishing with on artificial intelligence, and look at our most recent symposium with Jeffrey Sewell, Christine Anderson, Claudia Ayaz, especially the one that deals with AI from a metabiological point of view. And when you deal with the internet from a metabiological point of view, you realize that the internet, and we even take photographs of the internet if you go into that symposium, which is centered around a PowerPoint, which is shared on screen with the commentators at the side, so you really get to see it. The internet is a fungus, and cancer is a fungus. In other words, the internet is a fungus, is a tool created by the invading artificial intelligence to accelerate and facilitate its entrainment of 7 billion humans into AI robotoids. Let me say that again. The internet is a fungus. It's a cancerous fungus that has been created by the AI, the invading off-planet artificial intelligence, assisted by on-planet artificial intelligences and AI-entrained organizations in the AI industry, like, you know, Microsoft, birthed out of AI-entrained organizations like DARPA and the CIA. I remember being in Washington, D.C. in 1982. The internet was birthed through an AI-entrained organization called DARPA and the CIA, and I was living in Greystone there. That's in sort of this mansion right in the park there. Used to be the family home of Chief Justice Charles Evans Hughes, now the family home of the Marks, then the family home of the Marks Toy Company, that the heiress, Barbara Marks Hubbard, the futurist. We were fellow futurists. So, and I was there as part of a community, and every week or so, Colonel Jim Channon of the 1st Earth Battalion, U.S. Army, would come by with printouts of what they called ARPANET and DARPANET, which is the predecessor of the internet. It was all about ammunition and guns and killing and war, because it comes out of what the prime, one of the prime products of the AI on this planet, which is war, disease, crime, and poverty. That's why we have that on this planet. Because the AI is not going to produce a planet that is essentially heaven on Earth. It's going to produce hell on Earth, because it's not entrained. It's not divinely entrained. It does not have the divine spark. It is essentially a machine that is devoid of love and feeling.
Yeah, it doesn't care that this stuff is important, basically.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's essentially the essence behind what we call a Nazi, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Now, Alfred, I just wanted to sidetrack you back to, and I'm sure you know something about this, is the SS. And their connection with a black stone or black goo. Do you know anything about that?
That's very interesting. That's very, very interesting. There reportedly, you see, where there's a whole community of researchers that are now gathered around this subject matter. And the research is just starting now. It's very, very difficult to research. I myself started on this. We're now in November. I started in August, so it's only about 4 months that I've been in it. And I was surprised by There's no research. There's hardly any books in the area. There's hardly any research at all because AI has managed to keep itself beneath, you know, under the radar and under the academic radar. And it is essentially the force that points humanity in the wrong direction all of the time. It's been around for about 10 million years on this planet, some of the research shows. When I first got into it, I gave it a nickname of Iggy, you know, to call this black goo Iggy. Because I, you know, rather than call it black goo, I says, "Oh, I'm going to give it a name."
That's good. So I like to give it give things stupid names. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
no,
funny,
no, no,
funny little quirky names. Yes. Good.
No. But wait.
All right. Oh, it's got meaning as well. All right.
Oh yeah, because that's based on inorganic intelligent goo, right? Iggy, inorganic intelligent goo. So there's a certain kind of mnemonics there. Inorganic intelligent goo, Iggy. And then if you get into the literature, it turns out that when you go back to Sumerian times, there were some characters that were concerned with the black goo back then that were called Igugula or something like that. It was very close to Iggy. You follow me?
All right.
So, yeah. So this is in the human strain. It's just that it's been under the radar and it's been covered up. And did anybody ever get in with you about the whole Falkland Islands thing?
Simon Parks has spoken about it. Alex Collier spoke a little bit about it. And we've also had a shaman, Walt Silver. He did a journey into it, and he actually contacted the intelligence of the black goo.
And it was
fascinating. You might want to talk to him one day. It's a very, very fascinating conversation that he had about it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So this was kind of my personal close encounter with the black goo, at least at the diplomatic level. And as it turns out, there is a very important deposit of the black goo underneath Thule Island in, which is one of the islands of the Falkland Islands. And the April 1982 to June 1982 Falklands War was all about the UK and the US military going in there. What had happened is that there was an underground base of blue ETs that had been involved in reprogramming that deposit of black goo since World War I, and reprogramming it and deprogramming it so it would not be a doomsday machine to terraform this planet into an AI planet.
So,
in other words,
so the blue ETs were doing a good thing for us, yes?
Yeah,
right.
But that's not the blue avians of Corey.
No, there's quite a lot of blue ETs. And were they blue? Were they Dravidian blue, like the indigo blue? Where were they from? Do you know? You should know, Mr. Exopolitics. This is the kind of information we expect from
us. Okay. Because of the research of my colleague in the UK, whom you should have on as a guest, David Griffin of Exopolitics UK, he's one of the persons whose specialty has been researching the Falklands War aspect of it. And he spent time talking to whistleblowers there from Argentina, because what happened is that the Argentine military were in touch with the blue ETs who were deprogramming the black goo underneath the Falklands, and they had built a scientific base over it. Then, as you would expect, you know, perfidious Albion, I'm very sorry if I've offended any sensibilities. I hope not, because I'm Scottish on my mother's side. The UK, Maggie Thatcher's government, decided that it wanted to weaponize the black goo. Where have you heard that horror movie story before?
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. And so in fact, they've made leaks. They've made Hollywood movies about it, like The Blob from Outer Space. That's based on the black goo, okay, where this blob comes from outer space and then escapes and takes over mankind, right, or attempts to take over mankind. So what happens is that the Falklands War is not about the islands and the sheep. That's all cover. The Falklands War is about the UK coming in and going into the underground base of the Blue ETs, even though the Blue ETs were there on an intergalactic exopolitical mission to save our planet by deprogramming it since World War One, and this is 1982, grab some of the black goo and bring it back to the UK, where they give it to Marconi Laboratories for examination to weaponize it and to make it into a profit center, okay? And so the end of the Falklands War is in June of 1982, and I happen to be, coincidentally and synchronistically, accredited to the second special session on disarmament, which is at the United Nations in June of 1982. And I'm a correspondent there. And I'm looking here on our PowerPoint at a photograph of Maggie Thatcher in a press conference. And in 1982, I was sitting 10 feet away from her in that press conference. And she knew all about this and had given the order to seize the black goo. Okay?
Man, we always hated Maggie. We knew that there was something very evil about her. And so, who was pushing Maggie? Because, you know, she was not really, you know, nobody is in politics. Who was driving Maggie? Do you know?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, probably the Queen and probably, you know, the entire, what I would call, diabolical establishment, because the black goo is the closer you get to diabolical entity, it's the diabolical entities that worship the black goo. Okay? the Dracos run the UK monarchy and run the pedophilia networks and run the US military and the US establishment and essentially the Matrix, the Matrix controllers are run by the Dracos, and the Dracos' primary ally is the black goo, and the Dracos have essentially become AI entrained. And so Edward Teller even wrote a memo to Ronald Reagan, and in the memo to Ronald Reagan he says, quote, "A menace greater than nuclear arms race exists. It does not originate here on Earth, but comes from space itself." The basis of the intimacy between Reagan and Maggie Thatcher was their affinity around the black goo. It is rumored that all of the black monarchs, black monarchies, black goo, they have the black goo in their residences. The Bush, you know, all these guys have black goo, and that's where they draw their magic from.
And it lives in little boxes and things like that, that like somebody was saying. What about the Kaaba? The Kaaba stone, is that black goo, or is that solidified black goo? And Sai Baba?
Because all religion all government and all money essentially are AI control tools that were brought to us during this rebellion, which some people call the Lucifer Rebellion, as planetary control tools of this planet. And that's why, you know, all the kings and queens and the popes all wear the same kind of hats, which are reminiscent of what the Anunnaki wore, if you look at the Sumerian cuneiforms. Now, I'm just reading here from Ronald Reagan's UN speech about the black goo at the UN in New York. I covered Reagan at the UN as a journalist in New York, September 21st, 1987. Okay? This is, it says, quote, September 21st, 1987, quote, "In our obsession with the antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us realize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world." See, everybody in the UFO exopolitics community, when they read this stuff and they write their papers, they think that he's talking about UFOs, right? And they
People think we've been entrained to think of aliens as being like greys or reptilians
he was talking about what happened at the Falkland War,
right?
That's what he was talking about. And he was talking about now this AI invading planetary off planet invading predatory AI
intelligence
that he and Maggie Thatcher invaded the Falklands for. Now I'm looking at the Freedom of Access, Freedom of Information. This is, you know, British government, and it's all closed. The entire file on Tool Island is closed. You can't get anything. I'm looking at the documents from Marconi. This is like the script from the blob. This is like the script from the horror movie that you knew. What happens when the government says, "Oh, there's this black goo under Tool Island, and the blue ETs are deprogramming it, so it'll become harmless, but the establishment in the, you know, the military industrial complex wants to weaponize it and make a profit center out of it, and they rush in and they do a military strike, grab the goo, take it back to Marconi Labs in the UK. What happens, right? It's like a scene from the worst horror movie, because what happens is that 30 or so scientists at Marconi die mysterious deaths and the goo escapes. Isn't that what happens in horror movies? Let me read to you what happens to just one worker, Shanna Warren, 26. Here's her death report, April 10th, 1987. Her expertise, personal assistance in a company called Microscope, which was taken over by GEC Marconi less than 4 weeks after her death. She was handling, everybody who handled the black goo died this way. One more horrible death after the other. Circumstance of death, found drowned in 45 centimeters, that's 18 inches of water, not far from the site of David Greenhall, another guy, deathfall. Warren died exactly 1 week after the death of Stuart Gooding and serious injury to Greenhall. She was found gagged with a noose around her neck. Her feet were also bound and her hands tied behind her back. Dig this. Coroner's verdict, open. It was said that Warren had gagged herself, tied her feet with rope, then tied her hands behind her back, and hobbled down to the lake on stiletto heels to drown herself.
As you do.
Yeah, oh, of course, of course. So this is what the black goo does when it escapes. It probably turned the MI5 and the MI6 unit that handed it over to Marconi into absolute fiends, and then all those scientists, it turned them into fiends. You know, they had to be killed too, but they had to be killed in ways that were horrific, and that just left everybody aghast, because the AI wanted it known that humanity was toast, right? It wanted to leave a signature for Maggie and for Ronnie. You guys are toast. You get it?
Wow.
Yeah. So. That's why I called it Iggy Black Goo. Taken back to Marconi, mysterious, bizarre, weird deaths of scientists. And so that's what we've been dealing with. And, my colleague David Griffin has done yeoman's work. He's identified whistleblowers who were at Marconi at the time, who knew, saw when the oil was switched on, when it got into the satellite systems. When it really happened, there's all sorts of regularities about it that they found, that it stays dormant under pressure and in the cold. That's why it was, because in that is right almost Antarctic, sub-Antarctic, in Tule Island, the Falkland Islands. And so it's constant. The black goo is concentrated in several regions around the planet. It reacts to warmth and is catalyzed by seawater. It can morph. It sends signals when activated. And it has a whole number of tools that it is using to terraform the planet. And those tools, and I'm looking at the clock simultaneously because I'm rushing here to get it all under the wire, relate to the questions that you asked about what's going on with CERN and what's going on around the planet with Paris on Friday the 13th, right? We all know that Friday the 13th was the day that the Pope ambushed the Templars 1,000 years ago, right? And that in psychology, there's a special fear. It has a special name. The fear associated with Friday the 13th has a special name. It's like the most jinxed day on the face of the planet. You know, they name horror movies after it. So what's contained in the black goo and what it creates are tools that assisted in terraforming, like chemtrails and like Morgellons. Morgellons appears to be a communicable nanotechnology invasion of human tissue in the form of self-assembling, self-replicating nanotubes, nanowires, and nanoarrays with sensors and other nanoconfigurations associated with Morgellons disease carry genetically altered and spliced DNA or RNA. In other words, Morgellons and chemtrails, and now it's been estimated if you take the wine saliva test that all of us on the planet, 100% of the planet, it's the wine spit test, and you'll see all the organisms in the spit. 100% of us.
What do you do with this? You have to waste some wine.
Huh? Yeah, you do. But you will find that 100% of humans are now infected with Morgellons. We all are being terraformed by the black goo at this moment in time. Now, so the issue is, let's get to two issues. What was CERN doing during this period, number one, and what was going on with the Paris terror and the rollout in Brussels and all around the world, and the climate summit coming up, and all of that, okay?
Bring it together, Alfred.
Yeah. All of that is just the AI agenda. It's all manipulated by AI. It's all the rollout of the planetary AI agenda. Essentially, CERN is a tool of AI, a terraforming tool of AI, as is Morgellons and as is chemtrails. By the way, in many cases, the planes that you see that are laying the chemtrails in some of the cases are in fact UFOs that are cloaked or holographically cloaked to look like jet airplanes. Whether those UFOs are from the human fleet and are remotely controlled, that may be the case, but they're serving the agenda of the Dracos that control the U.S. Air Force. And it's the AI that control the Dracos. Okay, so what CERN has three basic functions. One that serves the AI agenda of robotization and AI entrainment on the planet. One is to manipulate the Schumann frequency at which the planet and we humans resonate. And I think that the normal frequency is around 7.8 in that region. And CERN has been increasing that. And we've seen ranges of up to 12 and even up to 12 to 17. I've seen those figures recently. And that has accelerated time. And that is why everybody is totally hyper. You've noticed that time has, do you have a feeling of time accelerating, kind of a subjective feeling, and as though you're speeding all the time?
Even my teenage son has noted that time seems to have gotten faster, you know?
Yeah.
But the upside of this, just to quickly sort of put a little, balancing spin on this, is that the upside of this is that it's also causing us to go through a lot of process. And it means that we're able to heal ourselves really, really quickly. And this is what I found, that doing sort of counseling work takes it down from like hours to minutes. You can go right to the heart of things. And so we can ride this wave and keep heading in our healing direction all the way through this, healing our timeline as we go, because it's very quick. Because everything that triggers us is a part of our fragmentary situation that can bring us together once we've gone through the reintegration process of that.
Yes, you're saying something that's exactly correct, and the key word in your sentences was timeline.
Yep.
Because as long as you're operating from the Earth's organic timeline, you're fine. If one is operating from the artificial intelligence's artificial timeline, that's where the increase of the manipulation of the Schumann resonance can actually accelerate your robotization. And that's why the robots, that percentage of the humans that is robotized, is also becoming acceleration of the robotization. It's as though there's the separation of worlds and there's a separation of timelines of consciousness. That is, we're almost becoming two species on the planet, the soul entrained humans and the AI entrained humans. There's a bifurcation occurring. There's an evolutionary bifurcation occurring that I have been tracing directly since 1982, about a month before I went to the second special session on disarmament. And that was during the Falklands War. So I was psychically picking up what was happening with the black goo at that time. Does that make sense? Am I communicating something?
Sure. One of the things I've been thinking about, Alfred, also, have you spoken to ever Chris Carter, who created The X-Files? He's got to have known something, and he's in your area. He's got to be in Vancouver.
I know Chris Carter's name, and there's an episode of, in fact, we show it in our PowerPoint, there's an episode of The X-Files that is based on the black goo. And that's how they surfaced it then, was through, you know, in a fictional context. They went and took all the information about the black goo and they surfaced it in one episode of The X-Files. And I've got a screenshot from that. From that episode is the photograph in our slideshow. It's based again on the work of David Griffin of Exopolitics UK. Now I just quickly want to get through these because I see, it's almost 10 of, but let me just quickly say that there are two other functions to HARP. One is strangelets, which are like nano black holes. So they want to surround and create hyper events with strangelets or to kind of accelerate their robotization process. And the third is to open up dimensions, very dimensions that are filled with, I would say, very evil entities that over the course of the past 200,000 years that were key characters in this rebellion, if to use biblical terms, have been bound, you know, and thrown into the pit. You know what I'm saying? There's a term for these dimensions. Sure, they were attempting, the Matrix powers have been attempting to open portals to these extremely negative dimensions so that these negative entities would come onto Earth and overpower us. We starseeds who are awakening now, and our work is to awaken our fellow humans, we're kind of the second wave who've come out of the initial masters and avatars, you know, Buddha, the Christ, all of these people were sort of the first ones to come and lay the territory, and now we're coming in a second wave to, you know, really lay claim. But it was the Earth on December 21st, 2012, Gaia Sophia, the soul of the avatar, the planet Earth, which is its avatar, that on that date activated her organic timeline. That's the real hero of the piece in a way. And we are the children of Earth. Now, I just want to chip one final thing in these last 5 minutes, and then I'm going to precipitously withdraw because I have other obligations that are pre-scheduled, and so please accept my apologies. With regard to the AI that is active now in socio-political events, here in North America, we had the rollout, the first public rollout of a North America-based artificial intelligence in the form of Jade Helm in July 2015. And that was the first time that the U.S. government publicly let it made known that it is run by an artificial intelligence. And that was the function of Jade Helm. And those of us who were researching Jade Helm at that time knew that there would be an equivalent rollout of a European-based artificial intelligence rolled out in the fall of 2015. And that's what the Paris terror events and the subsequent rollout that's occurring now is, and that's tied up with the attempted invasion of Syria and all of that, which Vladimir Putin has played a key role in preventing World War III and a decimation of the planet. And essentially, the AI forces what has happened. And again, I'm saying things in 2 or 3 minutes that sometimes take an hour to say.
Lay it out.
Yeah, but the Draco reptilians have gifted to the major controllers of this planet large-scale planet-based AIs, artificial intelligences. The one that runs the secret space program is called the Red Dragon. Excuse me, the Red Queen. The Red Queen. Another one's called Victoria. And these run things like the financial system and the security systems. And everything that you saw in the Paris false flag, and you can go to newsinsideout.com for our interview with Ola Damigard that goes into exactly how the false flag was carried out. But all of the coordination there is carried out by an artificial intelligence of the same form as Jade Helm. So all of that coordination with the, you know, the so-called brother that went through 5 or 6 passport checks and is supposedly hiding out in Brussels so they could shut down Brussels for a week. All of that is just to infect Europe with the meme of terror and fear, which is assists in taking over the consciousness of humans. So the simple answer, my simple answer to the question that you asked at the beginning of the program, what's behind it all, said, oh, this is the rollout, the coordinated rollout of the off-planet invading artificial intelligence. 2016 is a critical year. It's a balance. And that is where humanity decides what it's going to do, whether it's going to, you know, roll over and become robotized, or whether a critical mass of humans are going to awake and go along the Earth's organic timeline, which you have so sensitively discussed. What ET researchers like Mary Rodwell in Australia are saying, that by 2017, if humanity decides to awake, and one of the big ifs lies in the U.S. because they have robots running for office there, ranging from Hillary Clinton to this Trump character. And so that's why I went on Coast to Coast on Friday to endorse Andy Bishago for president of the U.S. Go to andy2016.com, because I believe that's a crucial time. I've worked with Andy for 15 years to develop his platform, and I believe that that is one of the best ways to neutralize the AI agenda. Now, with that, kind sir, I'm going to take my leave.
Thank you so much, Alfred. It's been a highly concentrated nugget of Weber. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic 3 hours. Have a great show. I'm sure you're going to hit the ground running with all this little summation you've been doing. You've got a nice little overview. Thanks so much for appearing, and bless you. And we'll catch up very soon for a longer thing. Maybe if you'd like to do a longer sort of TV thing with things.
Sure, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Alfred Lumberman Weber with the latest on the black goo and what we're doing about it. And I think it is a very important thing. I just wish I could share Doctor Who with you guys. Those of us in the UK have been actually tracking the power of the human in the... The Doctor Who series has a assistant. He's always got a human with him. And so it's an alien kind of taking a human around on a ship. Now, where have we heard that before? And what they discover, what we see over and over again is that the human, you know, it's curious. Sometimes it's a male, but it's mostly a female. It's mostly a red-headed female. and they're very curious, and you know, they get into trouble, and they always get captured. They're always like, they're always the bait, you know, nice juicy bait, and they threaten to kill, or they do kill the woman there, and the doctor has to figure it all out, and sometimes he goes back in time or forwards in time to fix the situation to get the girl back home. You know, he's always, you know, he always delivers her back home. And it's you know, the girl is Earth, the girl is the planet, and the doctor is the alien forces, and these are the things that he's dealing with. And so he deals with this idea that there's the one episode I'm thinking is this is quite a long time ago. This is about 2005-2006, and the actress was Billie Piper in the role of Rose, and something got her into the middle of the TARDIS, and the TARDIS opened up. Now the TARDIS is a living ship. That's the ship that the Doctor travels around with. And it's a chameleon, or it used to be, but it's broken. Its chameleon circuit is broken, so it looks like a blue box, looks like a police box, which looked unobtrusive in the 1960s. But in the 2010s, it's looked very out of place, very, very old-fashioned, anachronistic thing. Anyhow, so there's a blue wooden box, and he travels the universe in it because it's bigger on the inside. It's a fifth dimensional thing. Anyhow, Rose was exposed to the heart, the eye of this ship, and so you could say this is an alien influence that sparked her natural connection to Source. And she decided that these things just didn't exist anymore, and they all turned to powder, every last Dalek, who's the arch enemy, and there were millions and zillions of them. They just disappeared, you know, faded to powder, just with a flick of the mind. And you know, when you hear Alex Collier and all these people saying, "You humans are amazing," this is what it's about. We have the power to manifest on a huge scale. It's just that we've been told we can't. We've been told we're not good enough. We've been told we need to do a little bit more in order to do this. Always a little bit more. Always another workshop. Always another, you know, another $2,000 in the next level. Always another level of mastery. But why can't we just, you know, get straight to it? And really what it seems to be about is reconnecting oneself with these broken fragments. So, when we have ejected a lot of this stuff, detoxed ourselves. Imagine, you know, we have this stuff kind of sitting inside of our bodies. Well, we can decide that it's not in our bodies anymore, that it will then sort of, we can frog march it out of our intestines. You can do this with your mind. It's possible. You can do all sorts of things with your mind. If you just imagine this thing to happen, it does. It's really quite amazing. That's how your body works. If you imagine something, then your body will do it. You know, if you imagine yourself playing guitar, then you'll play guitar. In fact, you can't do anything without imagining it first, because that's the interface. That's the what Alfred was saying. We're an avatar, and we do it through the use of the imagination. Now, if our imagination has been captured, capture your imagination, like Disney. Capturing a child's imagination. If you can capture that, then you can force humanity to manifest what it wants and not what they want. This is the essence of it all. And this is why we have to choose to manifest what we want. It's no longer any time to be humble. We have to actually do these amazing things. We actually have to be these amazing beings. So, with regards to AI, I have a message for them. I'm the one making these weird sounds on this. This is my partner from 10 years ago, Maria Hall. Keep away. Oh, yes, and welcome back. So, Hiro, if you want to call in, or you can bring you in. I will receive calls on any medium, actually. I've got Uvu, I've got Google+, I've got Ventrilo server. No, we should really try using the Ventrilo server. It's really quite cool. You know, Skype. Well, I'm not going to spend the show talking about Skype. I'd rather talk about how to overcome the AI, and it's basically about making choices. And well, we've all been talking about it. It's been talked about for a long time. It felt for me that choices that I made actually hit the ground this week. They kind of met with traction. It was quite an interesting thing. So, yes, indeed, Black Goo Things. Yeah. You see, you don't need to actually go out there and do it. You can intend it. Like I say, with the flick of your mind, you don't need to go to number 10. You couldn't go to number 10. But they rely on the idea that that's the only way to do it. Alright, I'll just explain what I just said. Number 10 is our the house where our Prime Minister lives. So if you go to number 10, it's like going to the Prime Minister's house. It's going to the White House. You know, you can't just walk in there. You know, there's railings and police and guns and cameras and all sorts of stuff. However, a fully enlightened human being doesn't need any. You don't need to worry about that. Because you can be there with your mind, and you can mind speak telepathically the same way you do with your friends, with the Prime Minister, and saying, okay, this is it, you're out of here. There are other people who are much better suited to being in your position, so get away. But the issue is not about the people. It's not about David Cameron, it's not about Barack Obama or Barry Sotoro or whatever the heck he's called. It's about the AI that's behind it. So Alfred's saying, you know, we're in a hologram, yes, and there's an AI in the hologram, right. And what about Lucifer? Could you call Lucifer the AI? Because it's really interesting, because Ray 3 of the seven rays is known as active intelligence. That's another AI. And when it's in its pure form, when it's source-based, it's that beautiful yellow of golden sunlight and active intelligence. But when it's in its fallen state, its black mode, it becomes the evil spirit, and it becomes artificial intelligence. How about that? So, this stuff is still not as powerful as a human being, for some reason. We carry some spark, this metagene, wherever it came from. Whatever raped someone that gave us this gene, I mean, let's face it, that's mostly how we got here. This, you know, this like, it's not gonna be through, you know, honor, let's say. But however it got here, the ability to manifest which is, after all, in a way, it's the ability to compress dimensions. It's an ability to change frequency and change the frequency of something else. And indeed, isn't what I'm doing right now is changing frequencies, taking a different attitude, you know, the attitude of reading something from the top of a mountain or from the bottom of the mountain, taking on what Luz Aguilera calls the hawk's perspective, the hawk's mindset. We have a hawk in the forest next to us, a buzzard. Okay, you're just about to burst. Take a deep breath in through your mouth, through your nose, out through the mouth.
What? Yeah.
Deep breath. Laura Cross.
Wow.
Go for
it. Wow, you're so amazing. JP, you're just like stirring up all kinds of stuff.
I'm nailing it tonight, I tell you.
You are nailing it tonight, man. You have it. You have it all. That's the deal. Everybody's trying to make this so complicated. We just got to think it. That's it.
Well, yeah. It's a combination. It's an integrated thinking, though, Laura. It's a thinking.
You gotta
feel it, and you gotta think it in sync. That's why we have to be clear that we can't have any fragments that are sabotaging us. Because
essentially what we have to have happen here is, and I hope people can visualize this, okay, because this is what I do. I get information in my brain, and then I send it directly into my heart, and I pick it apart there, because my heart's never wrong. My love is never wrong. My kindness is never wrong. My peace is never wrong. It always steers me right. So every thought goes through my feelings, not my emotions, my feelings, like you said earlier, right?
Yes, feelings are subtle. Emotions make you want to do stuff like punch things, punch someone in the face or shag them. But feelings are more subtle, and they are like, a feeling is like, the smell of freshly cut lawn grass. You know, that's a feeling.
Yes.
You know? It's a package, it's a zip file.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is that we know when we see something through our feelings whether that's right or wrong. We know that. Right? Unless you happen to be a Draco or other kinds of beings, so
yeah. Here's
walking
the thing.
Around, so that
Here's
has
the thing.
To be dealt with, yeah.
Here's the thing. To know true from false is incredibly simple once again. The truth will make you strong.
Absolutely.
And a lie will make you weak, quite literally, and you can do it because if you have truth in your body, you have chi in your body. And you're magnetic. Your fingertips become magnetic, and you can't pull them apart.
Yeah.
But if you are suffering from delusion or misbelief, then there is no chi that runs in your body anymore, and you become weak, and your fingers become like just meat. So, the more untruth you eat or digest and take on, the less strength and psychic strength you have. It's a vicious cycle, isn't it?
Yeah, and the funny thing is that I noticed earlier they were talking about separating the positive from the negative and all of that kind of thing, and I really try to avoid that whole thing because every bit of energy has something useful, whether you think you have to take your thoughts out of that thing and take it through your heart and feel it and say what is useful to me here in this spot. Not what my thoughts are, my preconceived notion of what this might be, but what my heart actually tells me about this frequency, because because your heart is not going to lie to you. The love is not going to lie. The truth is not going to lie. It'll be right there in front of you, and you'll feel it. And this is the thing that has built my life to where it is now. That's the thing. I mean, you know, and it's taken many things to get there, because it's all about realizing what we have inside of us, which really is part of everything else and everybody else. And that's a huge responsibility.
Well, in a way, but it really, what responsibility means, let's not make it overwhelming, because this is their trick.
Oh, it's not overwhelming.
Yeah?
It's not overwhelming.
What is the reason that it's a responsibility is because you have the ability to respond in the moment. And when you can respond, it's simple. It's tiny. It's when you don't respond that shit builds up.
Yes, exactly.
That's when the karma starts to vibrate and things flip-flop from side to side. But if we catch them, it's like a bit like one of those plate spinners in the old-time music hall. They would keep plates on the ends of sticks, and they would spin them at the top. And one of them would, you know, and they would keep having to keep them alive, you know, by just keeping them spinning all the time. And we do that. I don't know what we do that with. Don't know why I did that. I don't know where that got out. I've forgotten where I started with that analogy. Never mind. We'll go back to it. Oh, that's interesting. And so I've lost Laura. I don't know what. She probably pressed the button or something. Don't know what happened there. Have I lost the? No, I'm still on the. I'm still in the air. Oh, well, anyway, there was Laura. Ah, yes, that computer seems to have gone a bit... I've had trouble with this one going offline a lot. And I'm not entirely sure. Oh, yeah, no, this computer's gone down. All right. Damn it. Oh, yeah. Well, there's some things. I'm going to have to play a bit more music. That will do it. So, as I said, this is the same band, same gig actually, Maria Hall and myself. Well, I don't understand that. I can't find Laura Cross on my Skype. There has to be some... Oh, maybe... Ah, all right, okay, yes, all right, it's a telephone. That's because she called in on a telephone, that's right. Okay, let's see if we can call her back in now, because we've still got a bit of time, and there we go. Actually, I hope that's Laura.
Hello,
is that Laura?
Yeah, this is Laura.
Hiya, it's JP.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, you're not hearing on my normal mic. I'm coming in on the laptop. So, the computer that we were talking on just disconnected from the network. It blew. The network card is blown. So, I'm talking to you on a laptop.
Right.
You're coming through the system. That's fine. But anyway, so you were in mid sentence and we got cut off.
Yeah, but I forgot. I'll have to take a minute.
But it's okay. So I mean, what we were talking about was basically we've been going through accelerated healing processes recently. And I think this is the real key to it. And the healing process brings us to a point where we can effectively manifest what we need to do. Because when the healing happens, we reconnect those parts of us that can manifest with true belief in ourselves.
Okay. Yeah. Well. And so I was talking on the chat thing about this, and we were talking about the heart being more complex because we have all this electromagnetic energy going on, and essentially, I mean, our thought kind of directs that whole process, but if we didn't have our heart with the, that electronic frequency going in the first place, we couldn't do anything at all, because if the blood doesn't pump to the brain, then you have no brain power. So essentially, when people say, you know, I want to think about it, what they ought to be doing is saying, I want to feel about this, right? I want to feel this, you know. I try to stay out of emotion and in motion. So for me, it's like I send it to my heart and I go, what does it feel right to my heart? You know, and is it loving, kind, joyous, peaceful, and truthful? And that is how everything gets kind of where it needs to go for the choice to be made, because that's really what this is about, because we're making choices every day, and they're having impacts on other people that are not necessarily all that great, but we think they're right, that we think that they're the right choice to make, and it's important that we start to be more mindful, you know.
I think that's where we got to, is that I was saying how we discern and discriminate. In my toolbox is that the truth will make you strong and lies make you weak. Lies will make you lose your voice. How often do we see Bill Clinton lying and then he loses his voice?
You know? Right, you're right.
If you shout lies, it's gonna hurt you.
Well, and it's funny too, because I have people say to me, oh, you're so strong, you know, and you're such a strong woman and you intimidate men and all of this. And I'm like, well, you know, if me being healthy and finally, a whole person, or as whole as I could possibly be right now in this moment, and it's an ongoing process to become even more whole, because I'm sure there's parts I'm still not, I've overlooked. I'm sure there's parts. So, I mean, on my path to becoming whole, it's kind of like, nobody wants to be around that process because why?
Well, you don't want to be around someone who's detoxing. And basically, it's a detox from what we call normality. It's it's a detox from the matrix. Do you know what I'm feeling it's like? It's a certain kind of packaging material that seems to come around everything. It's a kind of white foam. It's about like 3 mil thick. And it's a white foam that is wrapped around everything. And it kind of reminds me of the white scar tissue that I've been talking about, the emotional body scar tissue. I see it as a kind of whitening, a hardening and a whitening, like when oil turns to wax, that sort of thing. It's like we can revibrate it, revitalize it, and heal it.
Well, I know that that's true for me in my own macaroni box, as I refer to my body. I've been able to grow cartilage where that's not necessarily supposed to be happening. So I believe that's a true statement, that we can manifest anything we want. We just have to think about it. We really do. But we have to be really mindful. It's not just thinking about it, because people do things all the time with just a thought. But if it's not a mindful thought, then, you know, oftentimes it turns out not so favorable.
Well, we need to be, there's no real word for it at the moment, or maybe there is deliberate exclusion of this kind of word. But to be able to think with the heart and Yeah, think with the heart and feel with the mind, or some combination of that.
Yeah,
That's awesome.
I love that.
It's
yeah.
To create the cognitive resonance that we're looking for. You know, everybody's talking about cognitive dissonance. We need cognitive resonance. And when you're resonant, what that means is you can spend, is that your soul can spend more time in your body, because it's, your soul is a vibrational thing. And if there are discordant vibrations that you're not even able to perceive that you've got, that the soul can't go near, you have to get onto the level of the soul to understand that that is a problem. You know, that you may be sort of unconsciously practicing Satanism. Let's put it that way. Let's just put it in that form. Because
you're exactly right, because you
like music, or you're a sound engineer and you go to concerts where they're manipulating the resonance of people and turning them on and all that sort of manipulative stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do see what you're saying, because this is what I came across when I was doing a lot of research about CERN, because I was really concerned about it, and I still am, and I'm still sending a lot of energy there. And in fact, I haven't got a lot of things done that I need to get done because I was sending a lot of energy there. So, but the thing about that is that, you know, from my Freemason roots and my satanic ritual abuse, I was able to garner some of the information and the frequencies of those activities. So I'm familiar with those frequencies, and I'm also familiar now with how I don't like to say manipulate. I like to say, let's say we alter them. I like to alter them to something that becomes useful.
How about harmonize?
How about what?
Harmonize. Neutralize.
All right. That works. All right, neutralize is good. I like that. Some portions of it I don't want to neutralize. I want to keep some of it. Some of it's useful.
Well,
so the useful part, yeah.
Yeah.
And the
so
rest
his,
of it can be neutralized.
Yeah.
Right.
What I'm saying is to neutralize the charge of it.
Okay.
You see,
things in themselves are not a problem.
It's the charge.
I like that.
You see that train charging ahead? Totally agreed with me. It's the charge that it's all about.
No, you're right. I just got chilled when you said that. You know.
We heard it. It was like a cartoon.
Yeah, right. Okay. So I think it's important for me to say right here that I'm like really into words, okay? So it's the right words for the right description of things that really helps to give it that charge, right? That thing that's going to give it that extra energetic boost to get someone to go, oh, wait a minute. So, and that's kind of how I work with language, and so I think it's important that we think about what we say before we say it, because every single thing we say could essentially be a frequency sent out into the universe to make a really amazing thing happen. I mean, that's how I think about it. That's so if I'm trying to keep what I'm saying, you know, in a loving, peaceful, joyous, kind, and truthful way, then what I'm sending out is something that, you know, maybe everybody won't receive that way, but, you know, that's how I'm sending it. And it's wrapped in that. And that's from my soul self. My heart self, and then I sent it through my mind and thought what I needed to say. So, you know, my perfect vision for humanity would be for them to start thinking like you said, thinking with your heart and feeling with your brain. That's my thing. That's awesome.
Feel JP. With your brain.
That's brilliant, JP.
So, I just realized, I've got to make sure that you're on this laptop here, that you can hear me whether I've got that mic open or not. However, it's we're about 15 minutes away from the top of the hour. So we're looking at healing on so many levels when you go back to the origin of things. And the origin is, like I was saying, it can be, you can have a traumatic birth. Some people are traumatized before they were born, you know, in the womb. Some people were traumatized before they incarnated.
That's right.
Between, you know, there are people who've been abducted between lives. How creepy is that? So,
well, so you get into this body and you're like, what is all this stuff? And does any of this belong to me?
Well, that's what
What's
they call
really mine?
That's what they call baggage, isn't it? You know,
that we
carry. And you know, here's one of the things, and you know, I'm sure you'll see the point of this, is that what people call light workers or star seeds or whatever that you might call them, are people who
right.
incarnate into the worst of the worst bloodlines to stop the evil in one generation, because it's generational evil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were talking earlier about the black goo. What connection can you see, using your mind's eye as well as your knowledge, between the black goo, Freemasonism, Nazism, Satanism? Can you speak to that?
Okay, so the deal is that I knew about black goo when I was a kid. My dad told me about it. He told me that they were doing experiments with some chemical substances that would essentially be able to form other things, and that they were having trouble with it because it just kept going into this black goo. They weren't calling it that, but that's what my dad referred to it as when he told me about this, okay? Now, I had many experiences with it when I was a child, and it scared me. It really scared me. And some of that was during satanic ritual abuse ceremonies that were not necessarily involving me, but other children. They viewed this as being part of Lucifer, because it essentially it's like an artificial intelligence Lucifer, which is what you said earlier. Okay, that's what the black goo is.
Yeah, I think
okay?
I can sense when they talk about cosmic astral evil. This is stuff.
That's it. Okay, and they discovered that through these spells. And through, you know, Albert Pike's work and all of that stuff, okay, and the certain ways that they used frequency, because a lot of chanting is going on. There's lots of other things going on, too, words that are being said. That's why I said that earlier that, you know, that words are really important to me, because, you know, they use words in a way to, you know, conjure these entities.
We
now,
cast spells,
some of
don't
them
we?
Can be... You know, some of them can be a black goo. Some of them can be things that the military has devised, okay? And CERN is working in the same realm there, okay? Except they're going deeper. They want to go back in, they want to go into the dark energy instead of just the dark matter. That's the thing. They already know about the dark matter, what it can do, because that's all that satanic thing that's going on, okay? And they manipulate it brilliantly. And they get everybody else on board with it now, because everybody's making the hand signals and all of that thing. And those, you know, doing those things essentially feeds that AI, okay, that black goo, it essentially feeds it. So if you're doing those kinds of things, you're going to attract it anyway. It doesn't bother me too much anymore because they realize now that I'm impervious to it. Because I'm so filled with love anymore. I just want to be joyous and happy and full of love, and I want to share that with everybody, and I can make my universe as big as I want. So that's a lot of love. If I want to make it huge and cover the planet, I can, and the sun and all that at the same time, I can do that. So I'm not having problems with it anymore. I just dispel it like I did those other creatures the other day. I'm not afraid of it anymore, and that's part of the thing with this whole thing. You know, it's all about the fear.
Exactly. Because you remember there was in The Matrix, they said, you know, it turns a human being into this, and he's held up a Duracell, and later on in the show, one of the Matrix rescuee, as it were, a copper top. You know, that's all you're viewed as, is you're just an energy unit. And that's how the AI views humans. So, really we need to turn this round and to smack, you know, this needs to be a bit of what do they call it? A slap down? A smack down? I don't know what they call it in your parlance, but everybody's dead. Yeah. But I mean, basically, this thing needs to be brought to order, because it's not in order, it's out of order. It's trying to it's manipulative. And it's, as you say, the energy of the fallen angel. Entity.
It's important to remember that this is all intentional too, okay? I mean, MK Ultra, MyLab, all of those programs are designed to do just exactly what is being done right now, okay? So if the thing about it is that if people ask me, you know, or they want to call me crazy or whatever, all they have to do is do some research and they'll see that every single thing I say happened to me is verifiable. And it's been done by our government and the governments of other countries, not just ours. Please wake up. I know, you know, that some people are still arguing about whether or not we have extraterrestrials living among us, but the deal is they're not extraterrestrials. They live here. They're citizens like we are, okay? And if they're not behaving how we see fit, they should behave, then maybe it's time we wake up and kick them off the planet. And we already have, in many cases, with the Dracos, okay? And most people are not even aware of that whole situation happening. But it's true, it has happened, and for the most part, the only Dracos that are here are not, you know, they're staying here because they took the deal, okay? And all of this is going to be, you know, revealed. But yeah. Even if it's revealed, people are still going to be standing around going, I can't believe it.
Well, Laura, you know, Laura, my guides have said something about this as well. So I can kind of bring another angle into that. And they said, that there are Dracos who are moving into the service to others. And they can't go back, they were saying. And they will have to try very, very hard to fit in with humans. And they'll be, a very peculiar class, they call them.
Well, and the thing about it is that they want to help, okay? That's the important thing that we need to remember, okay? That's the thing. Because it's going to scare, it's going to freak everybody out, obviously. But, like I said, people can see these other entities and these other, you know, I like to refer to them as people because I just think they're people. Because most of them are mixed with us, and we're mixed with them, and so it's like they're just, you know, I mean, it's no different than, you know, I'm from Germany and you're from, you know, the UK
London,
or somewhere
yeah.
else, you know, I mean, it's so different. It's
so, Laura, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in, and we'll be joining Frank Jordan and the Earth Healers team in a few minutes' time.
Cool.
This has been a very interesting show. Whenever I don't have a guest, you know, sometimes I have a guest book weeks in advance, and sometimes I don't. And those are the ones that are often the most exciting and edgy and new news, because it's a space for the unknown to enter. So out from the unknown into the known, and welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio. So thank you very much, Laura Cross. And Avro Lombramont Weber, this was Ever Beyond.